Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
You know, over the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Father's vision for us. We started a series just simply titled Vision, and really the idea that I feel like the Lord has placed upon my heart is, you know, that it's broken up into three segments, really. The Father's vision for us, and then what vision is, and then what we're going to do with that vision. And so for the past several weeks, we've been talking about the Father's vision, really how our Heavenly Father sees us, how He loves us, how He takes care of us and cares for us, what He sees for us, and some great plans that He has for us. We know, according to God's Word, Jeremiah 29:11, that He has plans to prosper us, give us hope, and give us a future. Amen? And so we've talked about how we use the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told, that parable. And we talked about how the Heavenly Father, He likes to have a good time. Right, He's not some angry God sitting up there waiting for us to mess up so He can bop us over the head with a stick, right? No, or strike us with lightning. No, He's full of compassion and love for us, and He likes to have a good time, and He longs more than anything for us to be in relationship with Him. He's a God of joy, right? When the prodigal son came home, he clothed him in a robe of righteousness. He put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and he said, "Hey, let's have a party. Bring the fatted calf, and let's throw a party." He knows how to have a good time. He knows how to rejoice and be glad. Anybody know that this morning? Amen? He knows how to throw a party for His children, especially when they come home to Him. And then really last week, we kind of started to transition, and we started to talk about our vision coming into alignment with the Father's vision for us. And how many times when we start seeing what our Heavenly Father sees for us, and what He says about us, when we start to align our vision with His vision, that actually causes us to do things His way and not our own way, okay? And many times, as we start to realize that, that causes a lot of people to start to back off. Why? Because doing things His way actually causes us to change our ways. Are y'all gonna be quiet on me today? Right? Doing things His way actually does cause us to change our ways. And so because there is a change there's a transition that's required, a lot of times we'll sit back in the same state that we've been in, doing the same things we've been doing, not allowing Him to ultimately direct our path and order our steps like He wants to. And sometimes we may even miss out on some of the things He has planned for our lives. Or maybe we even miss out on some of the blessings or promotions that He has in store for us that are just around the bend. They're just around the corner because we hit some curbs or we hit some bumps in the road. Because we hit a little opposition, we start to back off. Or maybe we back off because we get so comfortable and complacent with where we are at that we're actually afraid of change and we're afraid of transition. But can I tell you this morning, as a church family, I believe that we're entering into a shifting season, right? We as the body of Christ, we have entered into a season of change. Something's been shifting. There's a lot happening in the world. I don't know if you keep up with, you know, world headlines and stuff. It's something I look at and watch all the time, and I love the study of eschatology with end times and stuff, and I'm not preaching end times message today, but there's a lot happening in the world that fulfills biblical prophecy, okay? And so there's a lot to be looking at. We're in a season of change. Something's happening, shifting in the spiritual, and just as it's happening in the spiritual realm, so is it happening in the natural. We're actually getting ready here at Remnant Church for a big transition, a big change, right? So on December 7th, we plan to have our first service in that new building, right? The new building that's being built. So our territory is being enlarged. Just leave that picture up there. Our territory is being enlarged, and I believe with all my heart It's for a greater purpose than we could ever imagine, right? The Lord is providing more room for the harvest. And I don't know if you can see the silhouette of people. Keith created that this morning, but there's more. He's making more room for more people to come into the kingdom of God. It's a greater purpose than we could ever imagine. And so there's a harvest that he's wanting to bring in. There's a harvest that he is sending, and we need to see that. We need to have vision for that, right? We do not just need to see that we're getting a new, really nice building, which we are. Thank the Lord. He's blessing us with that. But we need to have a kingdom vision to see and to know that we're getting a really nice, bigger building to host the presence of God so that a bountiful harvest of souls can be brought into the kingdom of God. Amen? So on September 14th, 2018, literally next Sunday will be September 14th, so it'll be 7 years to the date. On September 14th, 2018, 2:45 p.m., I was sitting in my office at my house at that time. We don't even live in the same house anymore, but I was in that office, and I was studying, I was praying, I was worshiping, I was preparing the word for the week, and something happened to me that never really had happened to me before. As I was in the office just spending some time with the Lord, I had an overwhelming unction of the Holy Spirit. It grabbed a hold of me, and it said, grab a pen and start to write. And so there in my office, I just sat there at the desk. I grabbed some spare paper that I found right there, and I began to write. And this is what I heard in my spirit, and this is what I wrote. There's about to be a manifestation of my presence, but this time it will not be a coming and a going. When this outpouring takes place, it will be a lingering. People will come from afar because this place will be a housing place, a place of habitation for miracles, signs, and wonders, a place where addicts are set free, the demonic are delivered, and the oppressed come out from which that holds them down. It will be a place of fire where everything that binds my people will be burned to ash and fall, but my people will be refined in the flames. There is an army that is coming, and I will cause the battle cry to be heard, for the alarm of war has been sounded in the heavens. Stand therefore knowing that I am coming, but before I do, I send a fresh anointing, and it is greater than that of the past. Remember all that I've done. Call to remembrance that which was taken, that has taken place in years past, but know what I'm about to do is greater. That which I am about to do is greater. I wrote that down that day, and I just there in my office, I felt God in a mighty, mighty way. And really since then, I have seen glimpses of that, right? I've seen powerful moves of God in this place. I've seen God moving mightily in some people's lives, right? But what I see and I realize now is that this place, this building is what I'm talking about, is a place that I am forever thankful for. But I do realize that this place has just been a preparation room. It's a preparation room. Because there's been many times that I've gone back to this word that I wrote down. And I've said, God, I've seen glimpses of this, but I've not seen this fully come to fruition yet. I've not seen it come to fruition yet. And what I have seen, God, is I've seen my family. I've seen church family. I've seen people that attend here, people outside of these walls. I have seen them struggle a lot, right? I've seen people facing and fighting battles that are exhausting sometimes and exasperating. And I look and I'll say, God, this isn't what you promised, right? What's going on? People are hurting. People are struggling. People are crying out. And I've prayed this, and I've heard God say to me even this past week, you got to see past that. You got to be able to see. You got to be able to have vision to see past the hurt. You got to be able to have vision to see past the pain. You got to be able to have vision to see past the battle or past the struggle. You got to even be able to have vision to see through the tears. And Andrew, you got to have what you've been preaching to the people about. You got to have kingdom vision. So whatever you do, do not lose sight of promises given. But know at the appointed time, it will happen. Listen, there are people in this house this morning, and there are still promises that He, God, has given you that you have not seen come to fruition yet. But He says, don't lose sight of those promises. Don't lose vision for that. We got to keep the vision close. And when the timing is right, He, the Lord, will make it happen. But we can't lose sight of it. We got to keep the vision for it. We got to keep the vision close. And it's very important that we have vision because, as we said last week, Proverbs 29:18 says, right here, 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So it's very important that we have vision. So we need to answer this question. What is vision? What is it? Particularly, what is vision in the context of this scripture, Proverbs 29:18? Because it says, without it, the people perish. So it's imperative we know what that is. Now, I went and I looked up the Hebrew word that's used there in Proverbs 29:18, and it's chazon. I made about 50 people hungry. You're thinking Italian calzone, right? But it's not spelled that way. It's calzone, okay? Y'all were thinking of a blended of cheeses, mozzarella, Italian sausage, pepperoni. Whose mouth's watering? Mine is. Hey, I got y'all. All right. I love a good calzone. But that's not what this is. This is calzone. And these are the definitions of the Hebrew word chazon: a supernatural presentation, divine communication, interpreter. Okay? So if we combine those definitions, we have interpreter, divine communication, supernatural presentation. In the context of Proverbs 29:18, we can say, where there is no interpretation of the supernatural presentation and divine communication, the people perish. We got to have kingdom vision. We got to have kingdom vision. Now, something we all need to understand is that we are spiritual beings. We all have a body that we live in. We have a mind, will, and emotion, but we are spiritual beings. And our spirit will live on and be reunited with a glorified body in heaven if we make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, right? But we are spiritual beings, and the way that God communicates to us is through the Spirit. And as I mentioned earlier, we all fight battles. We all have struggles. But we have to remember that the battles that we face, although we're in these physical bodies and in this physical world, they are spiritual battles. They're not physical battles. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." It's a spiritual battle. Zechariah 4:6, right? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's through the Spirit of God we are strengthened. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, in this body, we do not war according to the flesh." We don't fight in the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Does it line up with God's word? If it doesn't, I bind you up. I cast you down. So the wrestling, Or the fighting that we deal with and we're talking about, has to do with the enemy not wanting you and I to realize who we are to Christ and who we are in Christ. Now, there's a lot of talk about who we are in Christ, and I think that's very important. But I think a lot of times we miss who we are to Christ. That was the parable of the prodigal son. How much the son, both sons, how much they meant to the father. Right? You got to know that the Father loves you with a love that's beyond measure, more than you could ever comprehend. He loves you more than you could. You are valuable to Him. In Luke 15, we talked about it. There's three parables. Every one of those parables were meant to show something valuable. And that the whole point is, you are valuable to Christ. You're valuable to Him. And so you got to know who you are to Christ, and then you got to know who you are in Christ. What happened when the son came home? Put a robe of righteousness on him, put a ring on his finger, gave him authority. He said, you can use my name, and I'm putting shoes on your feet, and I'm sending you out with that authority. We got to understand who we are to Christ and who we are in Christ. And once we start, the enemy comes and tries to distract us from that because he does not want us walking in complete and total victory. The enemy actually wants you defeated, right? He wants you discouraged. He wants you held bound and addicted. He wants you ready to give up and give in this body. The enemy of your soul, the devil, does not want you to have vision, or he does not want you interpreting the supernatural presentations of God that he will set before you. He does not want you to get into the flow of divine communication, right? What's divine communication? Prayer. Prayer. That's us communicating with God and allowing God to sit there and communicate with us. The enemy doesn't want that, because once we get a picture of where God is taking us, and once you begin to hear what God is really speaking to your life and for your life, you begin to understand what his plans and his purposes are for your life. And when you do that, you'll begin to walk with more boldness. You'll begin to speak with more authority in the name of Jesus. And once you get that, you'll see a picture of your destiny, and it'll start to unfold in front of your eyes, and then the enemy knows he's lost another battle. So he comes to distract. He tries to mess that up. Now there are two areas that will absolutely cause death in our spiritual life. We've already read one, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The first part of Hosea 4:6 says this: my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Let me just tell you something. Reading your Bible, praying, talking to the Lord, and letting him speak with you, having that divine communication, coming to church, worshiping, engaging in worship, worshiping not just in the church house, but in your house and in your car and before you go to bed. Worshiping is a lifestyle. Worshiping, those things are more than just check marks on your religious to-do list. Right? If they're just check marks on our religious to-do list, our heart's in the wrong place, and we're lacking the power that God meant us to walk in. But when we are really in the right mindset and the right heart set, those things begin to strengthen and improve our spiritual vision and knowledge. Listen, there are people who have vision, right? They have an idea of where they're supposed to be, but they actually lack the knowledge of how to get there. And then there are people who have all sorts of knowledge. They're like an encyclopedia, but they really don't have vision or do not see where they're going or how to get there. But what happens when you begin to not only read the Bible and get in God's Word, but then you combine that with praying and having divine communication? The knowledge through the Word and the vision given by divine communication will work together to take you to where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Right? It's not hard to convince me that God has great things for me. You know why? Because every time I try to sit down and just get into His Word, me and Him, and just dig deep in that Word, every time I try to hide myself away, just spend some time, me and Him, divine communication, there's always some kind of distraction that comes up, right? That phone starts to ring. The door starts to knock. We ought to be convinced. You ought to be convinced that God has something great for your life, especially if the enemy comes in to try to distract you from that vision. Everything that you're facing now, everything he tries to discourage you with, everything he tries to hinder you with, everything he tries to put fear in your life with, worry with, anxiety with, everything he's tried to put on you that causes the spirit of heaviness, where you walk around down and weighed down. Those things that have tried to choke the spiritual life out of the promises of God in your life. Can I just tell you this morning, it's a sign? It's a sign that God is actually trying to take you somewhere. He's got a place for you. It's a sign that God wants to bless you. He's trying to bring you into a place of deliverance. He's trying to bring you into a place of healedness and wholeness. He's trying to bring you into a place of restoration. And the devil does not want you to see that. He does not want you to have vision for that. Even in the secular world, right? The corporate world. Like in this corporate world, they have people they call executives, managers, directors, and they're all trained to have a vision for what? The next level, where the company's going next. You got to have vision for the next level. Have a vision for the future. They hire those who catch a glimpse of the future, and then they call it vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no outlook on the future, the people perish. Where there's no hope of going anywhere but here, people perish. Where there's no foresight into what will be or what can be through God, the people perish. Has anybody ever said this, made this statement? I just feel like I'm dying. Anybody ever made that statement? Right? Not because of a physical ailment, not because of a doctor's report, but because of the pressure of a situation that you are facing, because of a trial that you are going through, you seem so surrounded and pressed on by, you say, man, the pressure's so great, I feel like I'm dying. You lay in bed at night, and it feels like there is a weight on your chest. Your eyes will not close, your mind will not rest. I feel like I'm dying. The pressure's too much of this situation. The reason you say that, I feel like I'm dying, is because you can't see past your predicament. You're not able to see past and beyond your situation. You're not able to see through the tribulation to the victory. And you know, if we're real honest, we would have to admit that sometimes we allow some of the littlest things to block our vision. My pinky's small. I can put it in front of my right eye. I can't really see anything out. I can see around it. Can't see it. I can see out of my left eye. We allow little things to block our vision. Sometimes it's the littlest of issues that we have allowed to keep us from seeing His plans for our lives. Sometimes it's the small things that can blind us from seeing what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be going. Things like jealousy. Well, I can't believe they got that. Why didn't I get that, God? Why are you blessing them? They don't deserve that. I do. Come on. Pride. Oh, thank God I'm not like them. Offense. How could they say something like that to me? Unforgiveness? Oh, I just don't know that I could ever forgive them for that. You better. The Word says if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father cannot forgive you. I don't know that I could ever forgive them. That's unforgivable. And then there are times that we ourselves can become the blinders to other people. Someone else who's trying to find their way, and sometimes our critical words towards someone are all that it takes to blind their vision for the future. That thing we like to call gossip, it's enough to hinder the vision God has for His church. I promise you that. Not only can these things affect what happens in our individual lives, but there are things that can hinder the vision in a corporate setting such as this. As a church family, there are things that can happen, things that will come to try and stop a visionary process from taking place. Because the enemy doesn't just want you to stay where you're at, but he would love for the church to stay where it's at, being ineffective. Amen? And anytime there is a push towards the future, anytime there is a push for more. Anytime there's a push for more of God, if anytime there's a push for more of His presence, anytime there's a push for more of relationship with Him, more of His power at work in our lives, anytime there's a push for more ministry, anytime there's a push for more territory in the kingdom, anytime there's a push for more, the enemy will come and try to stop or blind that vision from taking place. The thing we got to understand is, we don't just see with these eyes, right? But we need to be seeing through eyes of the Spirit. Our problem is we tend to look at things based upon what we see right here instead of what we see here, what He's placed in here, in our heart, in our spirit, right? I'm going to ask for my volunteers. Eli, where are you at? Is Eli in here? Oh, there you are. There you are. Come here, Terry. Come here. He got scared. He wasn't going to stand up. Hey, look, y'all stay right there. Okay, let's do this. All right, Terry, you go stand anywhere in the sanctuary. Go stand anywhere in the sanctuary. You stay right there, Eli. Come here, Eli. Now you come over here. Actually, Eli, I want you to go stand at the doors back there, sanctuary doors. Now, Eli, don't take this the wrong way, but Terry represents your promise. I want you to walk to your promise. Just go to it. Go to it. There's a path you got to take. You got to walk it, but just go to your promise. Hey, give him a hand. Wasn't that amazing? Come back up here. That was a good job. Now, we're going to do something else. Listen, I ordered a really nice night mask, sleeping mask, and it was supposed to arrive yesterday. I looked, and it said on Amazon that the U.S. Postal Service kept it for me to come pick it up there. I'm like, somebody got a good night's rest last night. But since that didn't come in, you get to wear this penguin one. All right, I want you to stay right here. I want you to put that mask on, Eli. And just for good measure, roll that up and tie it around him like a blindfold, because I know he can see up under that a little bit. Can you? So we don't need the blindfold? Okay, we don't need it. Okay, we'll just do that. Yeah, we'll do that. All right, Terry, go stand somewhere in the sanctuary again. All right, Eli, go to your promise. Okay, before we get in trouble, stop right there. All right, y'all come back up here. You're just going to have to stand here for a minute while I talk, because we're not done yet. Let me ask you something, Eli. What stopped you? Couldn't see. It wasn't the things in the way. There were definitely things in the way. There were chairs. There were people. There was all kinds of things in the way. But what stopped you was not knowing where to go. It was having no vision. Let me tell you something. There's always going to be stuff in our way. There's always going to be stuff in our way. The enemy always tries to put stuff in front of us. We call them stumbling blocks. He tries to trip us up. He tries to get us to fall. The devil is always going to try and trip you up, and he wants to see your downfall. He wants to see it more than anything. He loves to steal. He loves to kill. He loves to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give you life more abundantly. Listen, one of the issues, not only on an individual level, but on a corporate level just like this, is everything that we ever need is there. Right? He says, his word is, I'll supply all of your needs. I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. So everything we need is there. I'll go as far as to say everything you desire is there. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So everything we need is there. Everything we desire is there. But due to the lack of vision, we've never been able to get to it. Again, one of the problems is that because we didn't see it here, we don't see it here. But we got to learn that we're spiritual beings, right? Amanda, you can come. Y'all stay right here. I'm going to use it one more time. We're not led by the flesh. We're not led by what we see, taste, touch, hear, feel, right? But we're led by the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus said in John 16:13, however, when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. How does the Spirit lead us? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right, I know there's a big thing in this culture today, this newer generation, that there's a whole conspiracy theory that Helen Keller didn't exist, okay? I don't know if y'all knew that, older generation, but there's a conspiracy theory right now that Helen Keller never existed, right? But whether she did or not, I believe she did, by the way. The only she had this quote, and whether she did said it or not, she's attributed to giving this quote. She said, the only thing worse, because Helen Keller was blind, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight with no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Listen, there are people, many of us, who have the Spirit of God abiding in us, but we are unable to see through the Spirit what God has for us. But it's my desire, it's my intention, that through the declaration of the Word of God, that we'll be free from everything that blinds us and binds us. We'll be free. And I believe that God, through His Word, is restoring vision into the hearts of His people. For them to be able to see beyond the attack. For them to be able to see beyond the trial. For them to be able to see beyond the valley they may be walking through. To see beyond where we are at into what He has promised for us. Listen, you got to be able to see past your child's sinful life and see them walking with Christ. You may not see it right here physically right now, but you can pray with divine communication and say, God, You said as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I'm just declaring, I have spiritual vision to say, I know they're not, with my physical eyes, I don't see that right now, but I declare they are going to walk with You. They're going to walk in freedom. They're going to walk in salvation. They're going to walk in healing. I see beyond the attack. We got to be able to see beyond the struggle and see wholeness, see victory. He's won the victory. We've got to train pastors and teachers and church leaders and churches as a whole to see beyond where they are and be able to see into the harvest that God has for His kingdom. And He wants to use every one of us as a laborer in that for the harvest. How can we do that, Pastor Andrew? How can we see beyond this stuff? It's so overwhelming. How can I see beyond that trial? How can I see beyond this woeful state that I find myself in? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. All right, put your blindfold back on. For good measure. How'd you see that? He doesn't even know it's not covered. Here we go. There we go. Terry, pick somewhere to go. Pick somewhere to go. Now, Terry, listen, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He can't see. I need you to give him specific directions how to get to you. You got to listen, Eli. Go ahead. In the natural, Eli was still unable to see. But what he heard led him where he was going. We have to tune our ears to the voice of God. There's so many voices in the world today telling you what to do and go here, do this, do that. This is what will make you popular. This is what will make you successful. This is what will bring you joy. This is what will bring you peace. This is what will bring you happiness. This is what will bring you freedom. All these voices. And we never stop to listen to the voice of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If we would take time to get into this and really hear him, what he's speaking to your life, I promise you, he will order your steps. He will order your steps. He's always speaking. The real question is, are we listening? I want you to stand with me this morning. He's speaking this morning. To many of us across this room, he's speaking, and he's trying to lead. He's trying to guide you in a way that will direct you into the very promises and the destiny he has for your life. Many times, we don't see that. We don't hear that because we're too distracted by everything else's voice. And we've allowed little things or big things to blind that vision. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you are speaking to people here. I thank you that you speak to your children. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. I pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see, that we would not just look at the things in the natural, but God, that you would give us a kingdom vision to see beyond where we are at into what you have for us. I pray, God, that you would minister every person in this house this morning as a son, as a daughter of yours. Just every head bowed, just and every eye closed, please, if you don't mind. I'm just going to ask a few questions. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I need spiritual vision. Maybe you're one of those that your eyes have never been opened to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you said, I've never been saved, Pastor Andrew, but today I want to really commit my heart and my life. I want to surrender to him. If that's you this morning and you're here and you say, I want to commit my life to Christ, just throw your hand up and put it right back down. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Andrew, listen, I've been on a journey with the Lord, but throughout this journey, I'm not as close to God as I have been in the past, and I need to rededicate my life to him and my ways to him this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Andrew, I need kingdom vision. I've been so concentrated on the things in front of me, or the trials, the tribulations, the different things of life. Maybe it's not even a trial or tribulation. Maybe you've just been so busy with all sorts of other things that we haven't taken time to see what he has for us. We've been distracted or we've been blinded. And you say, I want to see what he sees for me. I want to go where he says go. I want to be led by him and his spirit. That's you. Just throw up your hand. I want to see beyond the attack. I want to see beyond the pressure. I want to see myself where he sees me. Yeah. Y'all look at me. He wants that more than anything for you. He wants it more than anything for you. But there is a part we do. Right? There is a part we do. There's a lot of people that, you know, they think, okay, well, I give my life to Christ and everything's hunky-dory. Well, there's still things you have to do. There's a process we walk out. You know, if I'm going to build a relationship with anybody, I got to spend time with them, right? It takes an effort. And so there are things you got to do. You got to read. You got to pray. You got to gain that knowledge. You got to have that divine communication. That's part of ours. And if we will do that, he'll speak. He'll direct. They're going to get ready to sing. As they sing, if the Lord is impressed upon your heart, maybe you raise your hand. Maybe should have, but didn't. But if the Lord's just dealing with you for any purpose, as they sing, I want you to come. He's going to give you vision. He's going to give you vision. Y'all sing. Come to the altar. If you feel the tug of the Spirit, come to the altar.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.